for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight we have two of the stars from Freddy vs. Jason, which is coming out in theaters on Friday, August 15th. We have Robert Englund, of course, who's Freddy from all those years. And then Jason we also have as well. And tell me if I screw this up. Ken Kurtzinger.
Very good, very good.
Wow.
And you're the original Jason.
No, I am not. Actually, I am playing Jason for the first time in this movie.
Oh, that sucks. Ian, get him out of here.
Get him out of here, yeah.
I had all sorts of questions about the old Jason. What did you do to the old Jason, Ken? I love that man.
A bag of lime, a shovel, you know.
He got me interested in hockey and killing, bro. That's
wow.
Where, that's where I found my
I got to talk to that man.
Okay. Well, I was misinformed, but that's all right.
Nice talking to you.
That's all right. That's all right. Those are pretty big boots to fill. The old Jason. Did the one guy? I'm not going to talk about him, but did he play Jason for the first 27 of them, or how did that work?
There has been one fellow named Kane Hodder who played Jason four times in a row. And other than that, he's been played by different people each time.
Hmm. Did they have to have about the same build? I mean, same posture?
Up until me, I think they tried to make Jason look the same in every movie. But with me, they actually changed the wardrobe and changed the makeup a little and kept the hockey mask and the machete. But
smart.
Yeah.
Well, Ken, what size are you? You're a big man. What size do you
got? A little over 6'5", about 230.
And was the real Jason that big?
The real Jason.
The old Jason? My poor Jason.
Well,
where
when I saw him last, Kane, I think, is about 6'2", probably about 220.
I got to interrupt for a second. Our assistant producer, junior producer.
Yeah, I think he missed the junior.
Has a persistent post-traumatic stress disorder induced by both of you guys. So if you just turn around and look at her and wave, that she can't stand. That's her turning her face away from you and running.
That's great.
Makes great radio, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's good radio. Yeah, so anyway, so now Robert and, Freddie and Jason are going at it. As I was pointing out on the air, I think, on Thursday, Freddie and Jason, not names that strike fear into the hearts of men, normally.
Yeah, not until.
You would meet a guy named Jason out in the alley or a guy named Freddie.
Well, Jason's he's one of those Sean names that everybody named their kids, you know, in the late 80s.
Jennifer and Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I see, I go by name. I try to steer clear of the Jakes, the Turks, guys' names.
Stews,
the Streets.
Yeah. Butch, Spike.
Right. Michael, I'll take on, but if he goes by Mike, I'm running.
Yeah,
there's certain names that even just modifying them will screw you up. But Jason and Freddie, I would, and I'd be wrong, because these are... These are frightening villains.
These are not pussies, yes.
Did you guys get together and fight it out before? Or is this new?
No, this is new. It's sort of a throwback, though. You know, it's a hybrid, but it's a throwback to all of those, you know, Frankenstein meets the Wolfman and all those, you know, decades of comic books where they sort of cross-pollinated superheroes and then arch-villains and stuff.
Is there a subtle homage to any of that in throughout?
Well, we don't have Abbott and Costello, you know.
No, subtle homage.
Penn and Teller running around, you know. Actually, this is kind of, it's new, but the idea is not. It's not like, you know, New Line was really desperate and you know to exploit both of these franchises. I think that I've been actually having fans ask me about this as long as 1984. I think
when is this going to happen?
Yeah, they say. Well, they just it's those you know male adolescent what if.
Yeah.
You know, teenage boys have a lot of time on their hands,
yes.
And they contemplate you know these matchups. I mean, you remember that great scene in the film Diner with Kevin Bacon and Paul Reiser, and they're sitting around in the diner and they're wondering which of the Bonanza brothers could kick the other one's ass.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's sort of that same you know theoretical.
Yeah, guys. Guys do that could a bear take on a Bengal tiger? I like it when they get out of the realm of land. A shark could beat a whale or an elephant. Yeah, they always do that one. How's the elephant going to get out in the middle of the Pacific?
Or they mix media. Could Goofy beat up a python?
Well, anyway, so the movie's coming out on August 15th, and Robert is been Freddy since 1980 goddamn four. Is it a good life, or is it driving you want to kill yourself?
Well, you wouldn't want to do it every year. It's not good 24/7.
How long's the makeup? How long does it take?
If it's a close up, it's about 4 hours. Right. On this one, I have to go to Jason's turf, and since Adam's a fan, I have to go to Camp Crystal Lake.
You got to go to the lake.
It's very primal, Dr. Drew. You know, it's fire and water. Jason and Freddy. You know, I have the fear of fire, and Jason is fear of water. So I had to go do a lot of water stunts out at Camp Crystal Lake. So they had to triple glue me, with this colostomy medical adhesive. My makeup man called it Frank Sinatra number two.
Oh.
And, it took us about 2 weeks to just get that mixture right and the ratio right. And by then I was raw. So for the last 2 months of the movie,
your
I was putting
raw,
glue. So not fun.
Very nice.
You're starting to look like Freddy without the makeup.
Yeah. That's good.
I get the lines, but he gets the less makeup.
Did we, Drew? Did you ever see the first of Friday the 13th?
No.
I saw it. I saw it. I saw it at the Galleria, the Sherman Oaks Galleria.
Wow. Oh. The old Sherman Oaks Galleria.
The old Sherman Oaks Galleria.
Valley Girl.
At the end. Now it was the one at the end where she's floating on that dinghy and you come bursting out of the water, right?
Right.
Yep. About crap myself. Yep. Yep.
That's the one Kevin Bacon's in.
Oh, yeah. And I was reading here that Johnny Depp is in The First Nightmare on Elm Street, which I guess he wasn't Johnny. It doesn't register when the person's not who they are.
He's like a baby in that. He's like a kid. He was like a rockabilly musician. Came west.
What happened to that kid?
I thought he was going to make it.
Yeah, he's a good kid. Probably gets around in drugs or something. It's a tough business. All right, ready to take some calls?
Let's do.
All right. Let's see if Ann can dig him up. Maybe we'll get him on the show. We'll do like a where are they now kind of thing. Get him on. Check him out. Joe?
Hey.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
All right. Well, first off, Adam, Dr. Drew, this is so awesome. I've been listening to the show for years. And first-time caller, blah, blah, blah. And the two guys, Freddy and Jason, honestly, those are my best two favorite horror movie franchises.
It's not the real Jason. This guy's much taller. He could kick my ass much more easily.
Well, no, on that, I'm sorry, but I got 20 on Freddy. It's too hardcore.
It's a good bet. You know, he's got the reach, but when he naps, I rule.
You know, in Vegas, they gave me the odds, gave Jason the odds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. No, but if Jason goes to sleep, then he's gone.
I protest those stats. They didn't count my dream kills.
All right.
So Joe, what's up? You called us about something.
All right. I got this interesting my version on the Kegels technique. Kegel, okay, whatever. Yeah. But I've been doing it for about a year and a half, right? And what I do is I take like a really long tube sock. And I basically, not really fill it, but like right now I actually reweighed it. I have about 5 pounds in coins in there.
Great.
Then I take the end of it and I tie it to right above where the coins are so that it creates like a loop. Mm-hmm. And like if you're like literally like you're holding a little bag.
Yeah.
And just I think it's improving the strength of my PC muscle because what I do is then I just like take out some porn, I get hard. And then I put it on my dick and I lift it like I'm doing weight reps.
That's what hobos do, don't they? You're walking around with that.
Is
that what that is?
Catch trains.
I wouldn't know.
Catch trains and AIDS that way.
And then you do like little lifts with it?
Yeah. And then I guess it's strengthening the muscle because over time I can add more and more coins.
I'm imagining a new claymation series here.
Can add more coins.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Well, that's interesting. That is a muscle and it can be developed. And
you're in it?
The PC pubococcygeus muscle he's talking about, and the base of the pelvic floor muscle.
Exercise it the same way to exercise?
That's a Kegel exercise, basically, but he's doing it against resistance, which, what is that doing for you?
Well, I thought the Kegel exercise was sort of squeezing your ass more than lifting your door.
But when you squeeze those muscles, there will be a lift also.
Yeah, so I figured just take it one step further and actually...
Do it with weight.
Do it with, yeah.
Little mini... Presses, see?
Nice.
Yeah. It's very quaint, huh?
I bet your penis could kick almost any other penis's ass.
Yeah.
And I'll put an emphasis on ass.
It's a pop.
Yes,
it is. And what has this done for you?
Nothing.
Well, see, I don't know because I thought it would improve like my ejaculatory distance.
Yeah.
or improve my ability to, like, hold off orgasm.
Well, that would be a goal. That would be a goal. But the distance thing, I don't think really matters to anybody. You know what I'm saying?
Well, NASA.
You feel me?
You want to get something going.
Yeah.
You don't want to hug the contour of your penis and then go, you know, your balls and then drip down your leg on your knee.
Beck, that wouldn't have happened anyway. Just the fact that he can lift the little penis purse.
But here's the thing. A guy wants to be all like, I'm not a good spitter, and once in a while I try to spit out the window of the car and it ends up all over the side of my head and the rear view and stuff like that. You so know, like for, a guy for, wants to be able to hawk one. A guy wants to be able to do it well enough to be clean about
so
it.
So for the sake of convenience of his own... Of his
get
own,
a little distance. Yeah.
His own personal toilette.
Right.
Yeah. Anything else done for you?
Well, see, that's the thing. One time when I was masturbating, I realized when I came, I shot, like, honestly, halfway across the room. Like, it went a good 7 feet out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's regular because I've never...
That's not regular. That's not regular. Maybe that's what you've done for yourself there.
That's great.
Like, that actually would be an end to this?
That would be an end point. I don't know if it's really brought us to a close yet.
I look at it as a beginning.
Yeah,
I really do.
I don't. Yeah, again,
Guinness Book of Records.
The idea of developing those muscles is more to be able to for your prostate hygiene and for your ability to control your ejaculation. But the distance issue, I don't know of anybody going after that these days. But more power to you. It's not hurting anything.
It was something that was more popular in the 70s.
The distance thing?
Yeah, like barrel jumping. You'd see that in Wide World of Sports.
The log rolling thing.
Yeah.
Try to knock the guy off the log.
I used to...
Battle of the Network Stars.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I watched some of that the other day. Somebody had a tape, that dunk tank, and Charlene Tilton and Adrian Barbeau in there and stuff. It was awesome.
And those jogging shorts.
It was great, too. And, you know, the greatest part about the... You ever watch Battle of the Network?
Yeah. But it always seemed like there were NFL players, right?
No, that was superstars.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know.
Drew, you never know anything, do you? Battle of the Network Stars. It's right in the title.
Some NFL players.
Yeah. Now, once in a while, no. No, but thinking of superstars where they would go to Hawaii and, like... Lynn Swan would take on Steve Garvey in the obstacle course or something.
The ejaculation contest with the cast of Different Strokes. Sorry. So sorry.
Chris?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing good.
All right.
I'm done with dudes. I'm going to talk with a chick for a little while. I'm all duded out.
Oh, that's fine.
You know what I mean?
He was going to ask about the guests in the show.
Oh, he was?
Let him add one movie show, and then we'll talk to Chris.
All right. Question? Go ahead, Chris.
Right. First off, I've been waiting for this Freddy vs. Jason movie for about 10 years now.
Sure.
And
that was right in his wheelhouse when he imagined this. He was nine.
Right.
Yeah.
He was nine at that time, yeah.
Right.
And I was wondering both of you guys' opinions on it, on this new movie.
Well, we're a little jet-lagged. We were in a field. Actually, outside of Austin last night, probably where the Texas Chainsaw Massacre occurred, and across the street from, I guess, the ultimate barbecue place, Salt Lick Barbecue.
Remember that
and
place?
There was,
by the freeway, kind of,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And there was like 1,000 fans that paid $60 to see the first premiere of Freddy versus Jason last night. Yeah, and between the bats and the chiggers. The Lone Star beer, they loved it. I mean, so
it
looked good to me. Yeah,
nice.
The fans liked it.
$60, because they got to meet
guys. But you know, it's just being contributed to a charity as
It's a charity thing.
It's right by the Four Seasons Hotel. That's probably where it was actually played.
Yeah. All right, so you got a good response last night.
Great response. Yeah, fanatical response.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
You gonna go see it on the 15th when it comes out?
Yeah, of course.
All right. What's your favorite Friday the 13th and Jason movie thus far?
Part 6.
Jason Lives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what is it about that one that tickles you so?
It was the storyline and everything. It's
of course.
The best of the series.
Jason kills a bunch of people. Freddy kills them.
Yeah.
Somebody has sex and Jason kills them.
What about the Freddy Krueger stuff?
Part 3 and 4, maybe.
3 and 4?
Yeah.
Somebody has sex and
Well, look, I don't know why teens are continuing to get it. I mean, we kill them every time they get a boner in these movies. I don't know why the teen pregnancy thing is still going on.
Freddie doesn't like tube socks.
This is the subtle message we try to persuade them with, you see. Nothing else works, so we say, look, yes. This is what happens.
People who write these movies must have, like, 14-year-old daughters. And they're like, yeah. Goes to cabin, takes bra off, gets hatchet in head. Honey, I want you to read what daddy's writing.
Yes. Come here. Shannon?
Let's not make it a biography. Alyssa?
Hey.
You're 17?
Yeah. Hey, first of all, I want to say I love you guys so much. But anyways, okay. Well, anyways, a few weeks ago, I called about choosing between my boyfriend and my girlfriend. Well, like, you know, one of my friends. And I went with him and...
Hang on a second.
Days,
Before you tell us what happened... As I recall, Adam and I had a little disagreement about this, because I kept, you know, remember, you, for some reason, on this call, you suddenly went, choose the boyfriend, friends come and go, and I went, what? Boyfriends come and go, and then, remember this argument we had?
Well, yeah.
Kind of.
Anyway, I don't pay attention.
The point was, yeah. I thought it was a bad idea, he thought it was a good idea, so what happened?
Yeah, well, a few days ago, he cheated on me, and so we broke up.
Told you, Drew.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. And he cheated on me and we broke up. But now he wants to get back together, and I really want to. But, like, I don't know if he's going to do it again, and I don't know what to do.
Well, cheaters cheat, generally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once they establish a
pattern. He'll do it again only if you get back together. Right. Ironically, if you don't get back together, he would have never done it. See, that's how it works. Your actions persuade people to do things.
Allow.
How old is he?
He's 17.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a bad guy. Yeah. I don't like him.
Yeah.
Oh, wait
so
a minute. You're 17,
get...
too.
So
what's
can
that?
Back
he cheated
him?
On did he?
He's not a bad guy, necessarily, but he just isn't what you need or want right now, is it?
Did he have sex with this person, or he just make out?
And it was one of his ex-girlfriends. Yeah, he had sex
good
with
times,
her.
Huh?
I don't know. That doesn't... Is that as bad as a new person for you, or worse, or
well,
no different?
Yeah, I think so, because, like, I knew her, and so thought that was messed up.
Think like a woman for a second. Just think.
Don't get back together with him then.
All right. Okay, thank you.
All right, no more calling the show.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
All right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm trying to get to everyone in America and convince them not to call the show. Drew, imagine, look at us. We'll be sitting here like the Maytag man. Just lean back, pants undone.
Yeah, I'm sure you have nothing to say.
But we don't have to say anything. No one's calling. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not like we're going to have to fill dead air. We'll just say, hey, no one's calling the show. What do you want us to do? We'll be like the guys in the NORAD or something in Cheyenne Mountain.
Yeah. It's
like
in the silo. You've cured America.
Yeah, you got one key. I got the other. Producer Ann knows the code and the launch sequence. We hope nothing happens. We hope no one calls the show.
Play some background ocean
sound. Some music.
Yeah.
Just hang out. Hey, if you feel like saying something, you say something. But hours, weeks, months could go by without even a word. All right. Where are we going here, Drew? Another call? See, we got another call. Yeah. We got to do this. Charlotte?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, can I just say you guys are the best. I've been listening to you guys for like ever, like not ever, but like for a long time.
Thanks.
Even though
don't call anymore.
I know.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Wait,
your friends not to call.
How long have you been living in Las Vegas?
Spread the word.
I moved out here. This is my third time moving out here, but like this time I'm by myself. Okay. Like I moved in with my sister.
At 16, how old is your sister?
My sister is 25.
Well, it's like moving to Florida.
Yeah.
Only worse at 16, right?
For the third time you've moved to Vegas?
Yeah, I've had a lot of problems in my life. A lot. Yeah.
You know, one of those long streets with a hotel name on it, I bet.
Vegas,
right?
Yeah. What's the name? Yeah. Is your street named after a hotel or
no?
Or
it's not.
Piece of the desert. It's got desert in it. Some kind of desert.
No, actually,
really?
No.
Palm,
it has
palm or.
I know.
Oak,
when you're living when you're living in like a huge ashtray, do you have to call everything desert? Just call something ocean. You know what I mean?
Forest. Fine.
It makes you want to kill yourself. Where are you? I'm on Dead Desert Gulch Road, sucked by a cactus needle pine, death lizard rock over there.
Vulture Point.
Yeah, I'm off there. I'm off dive exposure place over here. Yeah, buzzard. I'm at the buzzard. Yeah, really? I can't stand Vegas. It's too hot here now. By the way,
you guys, no kidding.
like 114
yeah.
today.
Oh, my God.
All right, so
my
Charlotte.
Air conditioner was broken.
Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, prime air.
Okay. You know, I've had a lot of problems in my life, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And then my mom, she was with my stepdad since I was in sixth grade. And recently, you know, they've had a lot of problems. They've split up a couple times. Since he's been in my life, he's like, I've gotten sick to the point where I've had to go to the hospital.
What? Hold on, Charlotte.
Yeah.
Your phone is bad. Do you have a
phone? Can you hear me better now?
It's cutting out during sort of crucial vocabulary.
your step.
Okay, if I sound dumb, then okay. Let me
all right, you answer
point.
Yes or no. Your stepfather made you sick?
Pretty much living with him.
Stop.
How do he make you sick?
Just the fighting and just putting a lot on me, like a lot of pressure.
Oh, so you have like emotionally.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And then it's been going off and on for years. And then finally he just spazzed out like about 3 weeks ago and where I had to call 911 and I couldn't take it. And I just thought, my sister's living out here. She offered me to stay out here.
All right.
Is your biological sister?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so then I took off the offer and I moved out here. And I currently have a job.
Mm-hmm.
I started school the 27th, but I talked to my mom today, and I find out that, she met up with him, a couple days ago. And I'm like, I don't know what to do.
She's back with him.
Your mom's back with the evil stepdad?
Yeah, I don't know if they're back, but they met up, and that's I don't know what to tell
him. At some point, you've got to take care of yourself and not be the parent in the family.
Yeah.
I know.
Like that point yesterday.
Yeah, your mom, yesterday?
Yeah, that'll be her point.
Oh, that'll be her point.
Yeah, see? Yeah, we're already into
that. Got it. Wasn't falling. Speedy. Your mom clearly needs help. She clearly has her own issues dating back undoubtedly to her family of origin where this was sort of normative behavior. She's making horrible choices. Is she drinking or using drugs or anything?
She drinks.
Yeah, I get it. I just feel alcoholism here. You've got to get away from this. Thank God you have a place you can go. This seems like a secure environment. You have the capacity, sort of the capability of taking care of yourself and starting school and starting a job. And you've sort of initiated all these rather extraordinary things. Stay with that right now.
Right,
you're going to need some help.
Where's mom live, by the way?
She lives in California.
Uh huh. Where?
In LA, pretty much LA.
In LA. All right, good.
Yeah.
She's there. You're with her sister. You're with your sister.
I understand, of course, you're concerned about your mom, but don't try to be her caretaker. Try to take care of Charlie. You're 16. It's enough at a 16-year-old to have to take care of themselves without parents in their life.
Nice job probably handing out corn dogs at the Slots of Fun or something. What are you doing there, Charlotte?
What's your job?
I work at an Allstate insurance, filing and answering phones and stuff.
Good.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Wow.
Okay. Good. You keep up with that
job in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, because my brother-in-law's parents own an office, and they offered me, to start working there, and I totally took up the offer. I've been giving up. Yeah.
Good. All right. Screw your mom.
So I just try to.
Yeah, let her go. Let her rot out in L.A.
Can't do that. It's your mom, but just don't be busy taking care of her. Take care of yourself, right?
Let me tell you what, Nevada is really. It's like the bay. Like out here, they say, look, you dump something in the storm drain, it ends up in the bay. Don't crap in that drain. Don't dump your motor oil in there. It all ends up. On the West
Ted
Coast,
Danson's
that's
hair
Nevada.
Something, yeah.
It's all.
Yeah.
It all ends up in the
Vegas,
bay.
In Vegas.
Out for this part of the world, for this part of this country, it's Nevada.
Well, it's
then it becomes
west
Florida.
West of the Mississippi, it all sort of funnels
into
Vegas.
That becomes the nation's bay.
Yeah.
Yes, this is our nation.
East of the Mississippi, it flows down to Florida.
That's right. All the crap, all the stuff, the Ted Danson's hair, all the stuff, the motor oil, everything, all the fecal matter, all goes to Florida. Here we have Nevada. I would just like to see if we could get a state in between Nevada and California. I need a little more of a buffer. I would like a state to slide in between Mexico and us and maybe Nevada and us. A thin buffer state, you know what I mean? Like maybe we could convince Oregon to slide on over, and you guys just form a little bit of a crescent. You get just nestle yourself. I know you guys want to kill yourself because all the rain over there. How about you slide in there?
A little wedge republic.
Yeah, put you right up there against Mexico, and then just have you stretch it all the way out. You go going to Nevada.
Yeah.
A nice little buffer state. I'm just saying, I need something between Nevada and Mexico and me. It's too much. You know what I mean? Like there's a morning and a night, and in between there's an afternoon. I want an afternoon state. I can't go right from the morning into the night. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
No, it's too much when I drive to Nevada, and it's all of a sudden, pow, it hits you. Hamburgers are a penny, and beers are 50 cents, and there's a bunch of, everything's legal, and there you can stay. It's too much. I need like a decompression state when I'm coming home, too.
But the air conditioning works there.
Yeah, I'm gonna work this out. Drew, you work on a state that's willing, like any good job. You know, you got to pick up and move sometimes. We get a state in between us.
You know, we can always work on our guilt about how we've handled the Indians and put a like Indian nation right there.
Yeah. A reservation.
National divide.
It'll just be more casinos.
I'm looking.
Yeah, but there's sort of a natural progression there.
Yeah,
right?
But I don't want organic
casinos.
I don't want to, you know, sleep at the wheel. You know
casinos.
What I mean? I need a state that's sort of in the ready position.
I see. An Oregon, right? A Northwest Pacific.
Yeah,
Northwest
I need a hardy breed. I need a logger type. I need a guy who's there.
Flannel and redwoods.
And so like we're in California. We're like, what's going over there on the Mexican-Oregon border? What? Uh-oh. Trouble's brewing. Everybody, get ready. Brace yourselves. A couple days, there's going to be, instead of pow, it's on top of us. Same with Nevada. All right, Drew, get a map out, get a glove. Let's start gerrymandering or whatever the hell it is. Let's get it worked out. Ken Kurtzinger's here along with Robert England. They are Freddie and Jason. Freddie's going to meet Jason on August 15th. That's coming up this Friday. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Go, Drew.
Who's our Susan? Who's our Susan? Who's our Cusa? You, my Cusa. Ziggy, Izzy. It's always love.
Right.
Always like that sound. Wazzy. Wazzoom, zoom, z.
All right,
everybody. In a restaurant tonight, I heard the original song. I almost...
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell? What kind of restaurant were you in where you heard this crap?
It was sort of playing oldie stuff overhead, you know, kind of...
Really?
Yeah, this came... Maybe they knew I was sitting there.
I think so was Evan with you, Drew.
Yeah, they might have been.
No one plays this. Not like the girl from Ipanema. I don't play this.
No, they were playing like old Prince stuff and things, and then all of a sudden this thing came on.
All right. Robert England is here tonight. He is Freddie, and then we have Jason, who's Ken Kurtzinger. And these guys are in a new movie called Freddy versus Jason, and it's coming out August 15th, which is this Friday.
Coming Friday, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be good. Ask any drunken Texan.
yes, ask those.
Finally, they're squaring off to find out. Oh, sorry. I just drew on Drew's shirt with my pen. To find out who would win. And, yeah, I saw Jason, I saw Friday the 13th first. That came out 4 years before?
They predate us, yeah. Mm-hmm.
3-4 years?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Nightmare on Elm Street. But now I imagine the budget on Nightmare on Elm Street was significantly higher than the first Friday the 13th because it had
all
more special
contraire,
effects.
My friend. No, one of the secrets of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies is they were almost all exclusively low budget films. We got the best and the brightest in L.A. You know, all the directors went on to do great things, and we had a lot of great special effects kids that would go look at a Kubrick film. They'd go see The Shining, and then they could duplicate, you know, the best effect in that film the next day for, like, you know, 1/20th of what they spent, you know, making The Shining. So we had this great talent, but none of those movies cost anything.
But,
they were all low budget.
Those were low budget, but Friday the 13th was free.
Yes, Friday the 13th.
The first movie.
Yes, it was invitation only. Yeah.
Paying the audience.
Yes. Well, you needed a summer camp and a couple of unknown kids and a camera, really. Like, It was just
starlets in jeopardy.
Special effects, a guy in a jumpsuit with an axe,
Blair Witch
machete.
Project, circa 1970.
Yeah. I mean, the original.
Well, all of those movies were sort of the garage rock of horror. Yeah. You know, back then. You know, the Halloween movies by John Carpenter and the George Romero films. You know, the Evil Dead films by Sam Raimi and even Wes's early movies. You know, Last House on the Left. They were sort of like the garage rock moment of time with those movies.
I mean, the money. I mean, the original, what was the original budget?
They pulled the plug on us, and we had to give the video rights to a company in London, and I think the original budget was $900,000 to $1 million.
Wow.
First one.
And
that was 84.
Over the years that things made more than the Titanic? I mean, you have any idea what that movie is pulled down? Or can you even figure it out with the merchandising and all that other
stuff? Can't. And you know, they didn't, even New Line, I don't think, sort of kept on top of the accounting in Europe. Because, you know, they're huge overseas. Because, like, the nightmare, the dream is such a great hook.
Right.
That it's international. It's like an action movie. You know, they really travel well, horror movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus the sweater and the hat and stuff. It's got a little sort of hooligan, little soccer hooligan thing going.
Kind of Target. Yeah. It's got a little thing going for it.
Little Andy Cap going for it. He always had that turn on
mystery.
It's always great. What happened this week at Andy Cap? The bloke was napping on the sofa and his wife came in and started yelling at him. That's great. What happened? What happens next week? He comes home from the pub and his wife yells at him. It's hilarious. You've got to see it to believe it.
Funny because it's true.
So I'm telling you, and Ken, I don't know if you have any idea what the budget was from the first Friday the 13th, but
that was a studio film. I think that was Paramount.
Oh, it was?
I actually heard that the first film or the second film actually saved the studio, that they were like, you know, having problems and that made so much money.
It couldn't have been more than like $2 million. No. It just couldn't have been. You couldn't find it. There was like, no, even the credits. I mean, there was nothing. It was a piece of Astro, and it made millions.
Isn't that so strange in the history of the sort of film?
I got to do something.
Industry though, these huge companies have been around for 50 years. All of a sudden, they're sitting on a razor's edge. They're about to go under, and something like that.
No, I mean, somebody told me that Dirty Mary and Crazy Larry bailed 20th Century Fox out so that they could make Star Wars.
I mean, really?
Isn't that crazy?
Remember that movie, Drew?
Star Wars?
No. Dirty Mary and Crazy Larry. No.
Susan George. Dirty Susan George.
Early 70s.
Pre-Straw Dog Susan George.
Yeah. Mm. Listen, our listeners all know that.
All know that, yes. Now we're dating ourselves.
Tyree?
Yes, hello. I just want to say I'm a big fan of Freddy. I've always watched it, ever since I was a child. And that's why when I go into the film industry, I want to do horror because it's the best. That's what got me started.
Mm-hmm. And Tyree, what's up tonight?
All right. Not a lot of call for that in gay porn, but you can try. Knock yourself out.
No, not that kind of film.
Oh, okay. Different film. Okay.
Hollywood, you know. I got all of the DVDs.
Good. Is that it, Tyree? No question tonight?
Yes. Okay. I'm 20 years old, and I'm already, like, I'm turning gray down, like, by my pubic hair, and I'm not understanding why.
Only there?
Yeah, so far, that's it.
Well, that's the part that's been worrying, I guess, at that age.
It's true. Your balls do all the fretting.
All those scary movies.
Tyree, nowhere else? Not on your head, huh?
No, not yet. Not that I see, no.
Hmm. Premature graying.
Are you a black man?
Yes.
Okay. I was thinking his balls look like Grady from Sanford and Son's head.
Yeah. I know Grady.
Yeah.
It's not that
That's
bad.
That's what I'm thinking. Not that bad.
Speaking
not Grady
of red,
bad.
Red sweaters. Tyree, I can't think of any medical reason that would happen. There's things that can happen that cause that area to lose its hair, believe it or not. But I can't think of anything specific that would cause it to go gray. And why differentially down there as opposed to on top of your head? I can't think of anything that would...
When do the pubes make the move? About the same time?
No, it's usually later.
They're back.
Yeah, they usually hang in.
Yeah, they fight the good fight.
But in this Tyree's case...
Plus, they grow up like they're in a cave. Like, they don't see the light of day. Like, don't the environment, the elements, the sunlight and stuff have something to do with the hair changing?
It's more that they're sort of raised in a pristine environment.
Yeah, they're not exposed to anything. All right, so what should he do?
You know, I think just have a general medical evaluation to make sure there's nothing unusual going on. There's nothing about it specifically that comes to mind, but makes me worry there's something going on medically with him, and so we got to just have a general evaluation.
All right.
Okay. Is it okay to die?
Yeah, put some Grecian formula down there. Seems like something named Grecian formula should go about the balls anyway, if you really think about it.
Sorry, the goatee brush would work, I think.
Yeah, you just comb it in.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Tyree. Hey, good times there, buddy.
Tyree, I mean. Now this is John coming up.
I like the commercials where the guy dyes his hair and the boss wants to know if he's lost weight. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Bob, why not just say, hey, your hair looks great. What'd you do, diet? Yeah. What'd you do, lose weight? Did you get laid? What, you been working out? Did you win a lotto? I always ask everything. Why don't you say, yesterday your hair was white. Now it's brown. Yeah. What'd you do, lose weight?
Did you get that helmet? Yeah. Buy a motorcycle?
What kind of boss? Like, the guy...
Elvis impersonator?
He weighed 215 yesterday. Today he weighs 215 again, but his hair is a different color. What'd you do? Lose weight? it's been 11 hours since I saw you. I dropped 70 pounds, you jackass.
Grecian formula fast.
All right, Drew. Good times there, buddy.
Good times, John.
John?
Yeah. Hey, Adam.
What's up? Yeah.
I had a question for Robert Englund, and then I have a question for you guys, too. You and mm-hmm. Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Robert Englund, Freddy, yes. What is your favorite scene of all time? Your favorite cut scene?
My favorite kill, is that what you're asking?
Cut him up.
I think it's my politically incorrect kill in part six. We were getting a little carried away with the humor by then with the characters, so we had to put in some really appropriate Freddy behavior. And not only did I pump up the volume on the disabled boy's hearing aid to deafening decibel levels, but I also got myself a nice Latino kid in the mix, too. So it was sort of like, you know, it was a double notch on my claw blade.
What about the one where you turned into the motorcycle? Or the motorcycle wrapped around the guy? Was that
motorcycle
three or
guy?
Four? Or
that's
what?
Actually
that
in four. Five. Four or five,
I decided to call the show, and I looked on the
hold on,
on
John
some website.
Says four.
Yeah. He's watching it as
is
we
is it
speak.
On four or five, John, the motorcycle
I think
one.
It's on four. I'm not quite sure,
awesome
but I'm almost
effect.
Certain.
Yeah, true. You see that?
He just morphed into
the motorcycle. Got on the motorcycle, and the motorcycle turned into Freddy.
I think Drew would prefer the prefers the Kafka-esque one, where the girl who has fear of cockroaches is, in fact, turned into cockroaches.
Oh, yeah.
It says it
you can check in, but you can't check out.
Yeah, Drew, you could do worse.
You're turning into a cockroach, yeah?
No, I just mean, you spend your time on those crappy movies. You're always disappointed. You should just get stoned and watch one where a guy turns into a motorcycle. It's better.
It says that muffler went in an uncomfortable spot, too.
Yeah. See? John knows. All right, John, we're getting rid of you.
Is that it?
No. I have a question.
We don't like it already.
Quickly.
Well, seriously, I have, like, stress issues. Mm. Like, I'm uptight right now. But
you're right. Good.
So, like, for example, I was at a gathering this past Friday, and then there were some guys that wanted to mess with me for, like, no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess because they sent out bad vibes. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it's the way you say vibes that makes
vibes
turns people off. And by the way, what kind of 18-year-old says he was at a gathering? You're at a party, you're at a funeral, you're at a bar mitzvah. No, nobody says gathering.
Is that
when
a euphemism?
Yeah, what kind of gathering?
Well, I was pumped up, I told my mom that I'm going to be on Loveline, so I don't want her to.
You're excited. Oh, I
too
see.
Too late now.
Gathering, right.
Did one hurt
your mom's list? Yeah, it was like a gang rape at a public pool, but he wanted to give it a good name because his mom's listening.
Nice spin.
Right. All right, John.
Uh-huh.
You need to watch even more of the Freddy Krueger movies.
Uh-huh.
I know it seems like you're watching enough, but I want you to recite every single one of them.
I can do an impersonation for you guys.
Oh, go ahead and do that.
Okay. In part three, there's this girl, and she's like a heroin addict. Do you remember, Robert?
Yes, I do.
And she goes into part four or part three?
And it's actually part three. It's Dream Warriors,
She goes into the alley.
The punkette.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she has, like, these switchblades, and she challenges Freddy to the fight.
Ooh,
and then Freddy goes something like this, right at him? Yeah. A little something like this. And then, hey, we used to be old friends, you and I. What's good?
Robert, you're on.
Flash.
John,
yes,
you're
I know. Ken and I, Ken's the new Jason, is going to be John's the new Freddy.
Sweater fits him perfectly. You're out.
John brings in a big payoff.
Wow. Yeah, I think I do remember that. When she was,
I think our engineer was mixing him. It sounded so good.
All right, we got to take a little break because I feel high. I feel like I got contact high going. Let's get it going here, Drew.
Yeah,
what do you say?
Friends, Adam,
I will take we'll take a little break. We got Jason and Freddie in here. The new movie's coming out August 15th this Friday, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline, man. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Pro surfer Kelly Slater is going to be in here, and then Taproot, and then Tony Hawk, professional skateboarder, and then Joe Rogan's going to be in here, the man who took our place on the Man Show.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk to him about that. I know
Kelly Slater is awesome.
Is it?
I'm an old surf dog, and he's he is amazing. Yeah, he's a super athlete.
Mm. Yeah, he's good. That's
like Nureyev of the waves. Mm. Yeah, he's really amazing.
So Robert Englund, everybody.
No, I'm sorry, but he is great.
Kelly Slater is God. he's Freddy. Freddy Krueger, and we got Ken Kurtzinger in here, who's Jason. I didn't know Jason's last name. What the hell is Jason's
Voorhees.
Last name?
Voorhees. Yes, my name is Jan Janssen. I come from Wisconsin.
What kind of crazy last name is Voorhees?
I don't know. I didn't write it.
look at his last name, Drew.
I've seen it somewhere. Yeah, I'm trying to think of whether it was in sort of Gotterdammerung or...
Well, there is a whole Bruno Bettelheim here thing. I mean, Frederick Krueger.
Yeah.
Crazy crafts. Still killing. Less conventional means than World War II, but still in the war path.
That Teutonic name coming back to punish children all over the world.
Yeah, krauts, it's like they're crazy people. I can't figure them out. Like, they make great stuff, you know?
Hey, you got one that's going to take over California.
Yeah. Well, he's Austrian, right?
I think.
Yeah, yes. Whatever. They're all part of the same crappy soup over there, if you ask me. But they make great stuff, but then they do a lot of killing, but then they make great cars, but then they wear funky frames.
I'm German.
All right. Which is it? What's up with you people? My brother-in-law is German. I can't figure the guy out. It's crazy shoes and crazy frames and super precision.
Sprockets.
Yeah.
Too much beer and sauerkraut.
Oh, I'll tell you.
And Lederhosen.
I generally have affection for the people. Jenny?
He's only saying that because I have a machete at his throat.
You have the reach on him.
Jenny, you're 19. What's up?
Not much. I just have a couple questions.
Okay, go.
My first question is, I've had my period 3 times in a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering what could cause that.
Stress, weight change, birth control pills, medication, nothing, ovarian cyst, endometriosis. The list is pretty long. Most of those things.
I went off my birth control pills, and then I went on some diet pills.
There you go. That's what's doing it. Why take diet pills? I mean, that's... Come on.
Why? What's wrong with diet pills?
It's speed, almost without exception. What are you taking?
I don't remember the name of them.
Mm-hmm.
But be very careful.
Did you lose any weight?
I lost 10 pounds in a week.
All right. And are you done? Are you done losing weight?
Yeah, but I still want to lose some more.
All right. How much do you weigh?
About 160.
Mm-hmm. And how tall are you?
5'6".
All right. You got to learn to love yourself. But you got to drop about 30 pounds, too. But you got to love yourself. Okay?
Okay.
You'd be easier to love if you were a little thinner.
What was your other question?
But you got to love yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other question?
Okay, my other question is that I was raped about 2 months ago by my boyfriend's, like, good friend then, and now I won't let him, like, we used to be very touchy, and now I don't let him touch me very much because
you and your boyfriend, right. You and your boyfriend used to be very touchy.
Yeah, we used to be touchy, you know, and it was all great, but now I just get weirded out about it.
Is this sort of a post-traumatic stress reaction and that it's brought to surface something that happened to you long ago as well?
I had a great childhood.
You weren't, no sexual abuse when you were a child or anything like that?
Uh-uh.
Okay. What did you do? Did you prosecute this guy?
No.
Does your boyfriend know?
At first, I thought it was my fault, so it was by the time I went into the hospital. They said it would be a he-said-she-said situation.
Yeah, but it's all kind of victim behavior here, Jenny. So just look into it. Be that as it may, does your boyfriend knows his friend did this to you, right?
Yeah, they got in a fight.
Have you gotten any treatment for the rape?
I went to therapy, but the lady wasn't that great of a therapist.
All right, well, that would be...
Hold on. And could you make any more goddamn noise coming in and out of the studio? Jesus. Just take it easy. You could go slow with the door and quietly. Just pile up some beer cans in front of it so we know when you're coming in.
Jenny, if indeed things were as you said they were, that there was no real problem in your childhood, then this can be pretty quickly dealt with, but you do need to be... best in a group process with other women that have been in rape experiences and victimization. But don't expect it to go away. It's a normal reaction to sort of respond physically now to any sort of physical provocation or sexual overtures. I mean, you've had a real serious trauma.
But you know, good times.
Good times, though, yeah.
Good times. Yeah. Warren?
Hey.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I'm the biggest Freddy fan in the world.
Yeah?
He's from Nevada, too.
Okay.
Yeah, crazy Nevada kid ain't got nothing to do with watch horror movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
How hot is it in Nevada now?
It's hella hot.
It's hella hot.
Way too hot.
That's right. All right. What's up?
Okay. I have a question for Robert. What is your favorite one-liner out of all the movies?
Oh, probably the only one I made up. Welcome to primetime, biatch.
Yeah. My favorite
one. Well, what's yours? What's yours, buddy?
He goes up to this chick in this in number four in this chair, and he grabs her by the head and says, "Wanna suck face?" and like sucks all the juice out of her body. It's awesome.
Yeah, that wasn't his though, but that was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah,
the lovely Kelly Mintner. Yes. I'll never forget that day.
Good times there, Warren. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. You know, I like when people go like, "What's your favorite Stooge?" And they go, "Well, it's got to be between you, because I'll tell you mine." It's like, just tell me yours then. Yes. Your favorite line is, okay, I'll tell you my favorite line. People think, I think it's like somehow they act like you brought it up if they ask you the question first. Well, we're on the topic of favorite lines from Freddy Krueger movies, and I have to volunteer
my share with you. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you brought that up, Robert, let me share my own insights.
I was set up, I swear.
We got Freddy here. We got Jason here. Freddy is going to take on Jason on the 15th. That would be coming up this Friday. And we'll talk more to you and them and he and us after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kelly Slater's going to be in here tomorrow night. Tony Hawk, Taproot, Joe Rogan. A lot of names coming into the studio this week. Robert Englund is here, along with Ken Kurtzinger, both from Freddy versus Jason, which is coming out this week, Friday, the 15th. And Drew and I have had many argument over who would win Freddy versus Jason. And finally, it's going to be settled, Drew.
It's kept you guys up late, huh?
Yeah.
We almost kicked each other's ass over it.
Yeah.
We really did.
We live in a that kind of
world. So who wears the sweater in your family?
I'm Jason is, you know, physically an imposing guy. He's a big guy. He's got the machete. Mm. So it's got the hockey mask, and not the.
Well,
not
it makes sense. It's brain versus brawn. You know?
Not the new style one. The old scary ones. You know what I mean? But I don't think there's anything. You just
Ken,
got to
sit down, Ken. Yeah, sit down.
Trouble.
Put Adam down.
You don't got the. You got the. No, what I mean is the new hockey masks are just a bunch of metal.
Oh, you
know
mean
what I mean?
The new hockey masks that hockey players wear.
Yeah. The hockey mask.
We thought you were dissing Ken.
Oh, no.
You
were dissing Ken.
The old Jason.
No. Oh,
be
no,
specific.
No. No, I mean the mask. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the goalies wear these crappy ones.
You know, now they have the big duck bill on them.
Why, when I was a kid, they didn't wear them.
Yeah. That was a horrible
job. They didn't even have ice.
He's playing Jacques hockey Flan, with no mask.
Taking a puck in the face. Yeah, Jacques Flan, right? That was him.
How are you supposed to play goalie with just pomade in your hair? That's it. That's all they had for protection was that hair. Yeah.
Bro cream.
Yeah. All right, where are we here, Drew? Leanne? Leanna?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, okay, this is like kind of a long story, but I've been with my boyfriend for a year, and I just discovered recently that I was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And I really don't know how to tell him, especially since I found out I was a lesbian because I was with his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure his mom has some type of idea because, like, she gives me funny looks now, and I really want to tell him because, I mean, I do love him, and I've never...
Hold on. Yeah. I smell bogus here. She's coming out.
I was just getting right
down. Coming out of the blocks loaded.
Yeah, too pat.
Too much.
Too pat. Also, having a female experience does not, I'm a lesbian, make.
Yes.
You know, usually that's... Wow, do you think? I'm thinking about it. I'm surprised how much I liked it.
Yeah.
I love my boyfriend. I'm conflicted. It's not, yeah. Whoop, I'm declaring my major. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And by the way, why does she need to tell? She can break up with the guy. Yeah. She doesn't need to say she went down on his sister.
Yeah, and the mom gets in the mix here in some weird way. No.
Leanna.
Yeah.
It was too Greek, too quick.
Yeah, full of crap.
Bogus.
Bogus.
Should I just tell him.
No, shut up. Put the brains behind the bogus call on the phone. Where's the guy? There's always a guy pulling the strings. Where is he?
A guy? What guy?
Who's in the room?
The guy's in the
room.
Put
him on the phone.
I'm by myself. I'm outside.
Outside where?
Outside of my house.
Aha!
What do you mean, aha?
All right. What are you doing outside your house? Smoking?
Yeah. How did you know?
That's why you stand outside your house.
Well, also, I'm outside my house.
No,
I heard that.
People smoke outside their house. All right. Nah.
The people get confused by same-sex experiences, but they don't declare a major right then, especially when you're involved in a relationship that you don't want to give up.
Well, but I've known for a while. It's just I never really wanted to admit to it. And now that I'm sure that I'm physically attracted to women and women only, it's like I really don't want to hurt them. And
how can it be women only when you've been with a boyfriend for all this time?
Because all my friends don't accept that type of thing, and my family doesn't accept it, and it's just kind of like...
So you've never been attracted to your boyfriend?
Well, I guess I am in many ways, but that's like on a personality type of basis, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. It's not really like a physical attraction thing, you know?
Well, look, break up with your boyfriend.
Yeah,
he doesn't need to know about you and his sister.
And let the sister go, too. You're going to be, that's like if you had a brother.
I still don't really believe
it. I don't either.
Why would you
even
entertain the thought of telling this guy about you and his sister?
What's in it for you? Why would you do that?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, it's bogus.
You don't care. Stop wasting everyone's time. I pray you get cancer from the cigarettes. No, that's a slow death. I hope an owl snatches you up at night, mistakes you for a fat field mouse. And slowly dismantles you with its talons and beak. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam, of course.
Wait a second. She's outside. Jason.
Jason. Yeah, that's right.
A teenager outside?
Jason. That's right.
And she's had sex. So
a new twist. Get the lesbian sex going here.
Yeah.
Must be punished.
That's going to be Jason versus Jason.
I always liked the part, too, where the guy was going to get laid. The chick got up and left, and the guy was on the bed waiting for her to come back into the room. That was always that part where she got killed somewhere.
Right.
I wouldn't be so mad about getting killed. I'd be like, I did not get blown. I didn't get a blowjob. This close to BJ. Yeah. I know, as the machete slicing through the jugular, I'd be like, if I could have just gotten the BJ before the... Oh, yeah.
17, I haven't lived, I haven't loved.
Alright, let's talk to Julie, who's 17.
Hey.
Julie? Have you lived? Have you loved at 17?
Define that.
Have you been attacked with a machete? No?
Not a machete.
machete doesn't seem to be the instrument of choice like it was back in the day. Yeah. Kind of went out with quicksand. I mean, Jason's done his best to keep it alive.
We're bringing it back in this one.
It's a damn good killing instrument.
The glove is sexier, you know. Let's be honest.
Yeah, machete's bigger, Robert.
I think neither one of them would win.
Why?
Who, yeah, but the
why?
Machete could be a compensation, Jason.
That's true. You think it's gonna? Who do you think's gonna win the fight, Julie?
Neither one of them are gonna win. They're gonna team up and they're gonna kick ass.
Oh, that's the next one.
Oh, yes, that's interesting. That may have happened.
We're taking on Chucky and the Leprechaun.
Leprechaun.
What's up there, Julie?
Well, every boyfriend I've ever had, I've cheated on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really understand why I do that.
Mm. Well,
where's your dad?
There you go. That's the usual question.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, but that's what this is all about.
He got arrested when I was younger.
For what? For sexually abusing you?
No.
For what?
For killing my brother.
Oh, really?
Very funny.
You keep your sense of humor about the whole thing. He got arrested. Your dad got arrested for killing your brother?
Yeah, it's a big old long story.
Yeah. Well, give us the cliff notes.
I got to hear about it, though. Yeah. How much older was your brother than you?
I actually never even knew him. This happened before I was born, and then he got arrested when I was about 12.
Well, how much older would your brother have been than you anyway?
He'd be like 35 now, and I'm almost turning 18, so I don't know.
Was your dad sort of an asshole when you were growing up?
No, he's a great guy.
I don't know. He wasn't really around that much. He was always working on time.
You kill one son, you get labeled.
And then they caught up with him. They caught up with him 20 years later?
Yeah.
20 years after the fact, they got him.
Yeah.
No, it happens.
Wow.
DNA and all that kind of breakdown.
Yeah, some hairs or some crap. I don't know.
So what happened to your what now? What's your dad's side of the story, by the way? Like he wouldn't mow the lawn or
deny.
He says he never did it.
Yeah, basically.
And but there's good evidence to suggest he did.
How about his hair? Like, okay, basically they put him under a house, and it was his gun. There was his blood. There was his hair. I mean, come on now.
It was your dad. Your dad had these.
All right. Or Julie, at very least.
Wait a minute. I'm still interested in this. All right. So, what was it? Was there a dispute? I mean, for the
well,
what was
I don't
the
know.
Motive?
The trial was pretty long. It was like
what
maybe,
was the motive?
They never liked each other because it was my brother, but it was my half brother, and they were stepfather and son.
Oh, this was his stepson.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's different. That's a different, totally different. My stepmom tried to kill me a bunch.
Many different ways, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mostly right. Trying to get you to have exposure, it seemed like.
All right, yeah, out in the garage. Ugh. Hey, Julie, so your dad didn't kill his son.
He killed his stepson.
His stepson. All right. Well, some clarification there would help. But
it's a little less wild.
Yeah. All right.
Not much.
All right. So your dad's in he's in prison for life now?
He's supposed to be in for 34, but he's probably going to get out in about 2 years because of parole or some crap.
Okay. And are you excited to see him?
Hell no. Getting out of here.
All right. And have you been talking to him since he's been in the joint?
Nope.
All right. Good. So now you got issues.
Wait, why
with
is
guys.
It good?
How's your mom? Because he's a bad guy. How's
bad
your mom?
Guy. Yeah.
My mom's a pill popper.
All right. So you've had a very disturbed relationship with your parents, which is sort of the model for your relationships in your young adult life. Naturally enough, it would be very conflicted and very difficult and very painful to get close to someone. And a great way to prevent that is just sort of use sex as a way of managing your feelings and never really having a real relationship and continue to cheat whenever anything real does evolve.
All right, so here's what you gotta do, Julie.
I got another question.
No.
Listen.
You gotta not get pregnant. You understand that?
Well, yeah.
Well, have you been pregnant yet?
No. Well, yes, but it's different.
That's different. Okay. Well,
are you on birth control?
As long as it's different. Yeah?
Are you on birth control?
Yeah.
You are?
But
okay. Pulling out, it's not birth control, you know.
Huh?
What are you using for birth control?
Depo.
Good. All right. Here's what I'm interested in you doing. I'm interested in you not having kids and not killing yourself. How about that? Yeah?
Yeah, that's good.
All right. And what do you want to be?
Actually, I'm going into the military.
Good. That's perfect. Perfect.
But I got another question.
You learn to work a radio there.
What's your other question?
I already know how to work a radio, by the way.
What's your other question?
Well, I'm not talking about AM/FM. I'm talking about the kind, you know, feel.
My brother actually, I guess, sexually whatevered me when I was young. Well, and I don't remember how young I was, but it happened for a long time. Does that have something to do with it also?
Yes, that has a lot to do with it.
Yes.
Okay, now, what's the deal with that?
That is going to make you prone to a certain strategy of dealing with feelings we call dissociation, where you sort of disconnect from your feelings, disconnect even from your body and your body experiences when you get in situations that remind you of the violation and the abuse. It sort of wires in a primitive way of dealing with trauma that now becomes the way you deal with any interpersonal stress or any interpersonal sort of unpleasantness. And sex, naturally enough, triggers all that stuff. It's almost like reliving some of it. So it needs a lot of treatment.
Go to the Army.
Yeah, go in the Army and go, right to, go right to the mental health services.
Yeah.
You really should, because you're going to be prone to post-traumatic stress disorder and all the sort of battle fatigue things that happen when new stresses get put on top of old.
All right. Yeah. Drew, you should do a horror movie where you just explain to people what's wrong with their lives.
That'll be...
Because, like,
Dr.
The movie starts with the 18-year-old girl going, I'm super horny. And then by the end, she's crying. My stepfather raped me. I thought I was just horny, but I'm acting out. It would be great.
It's every young male's horror film.
It really is. It really is. I just want to kill these parents. I want to put a bullet in their head. I just do. Just these horrible.
Well, the
horrible
atmosphere in that home
parents.
Must have been thick enough to cut with a knife.
With a machete.
With a machete.
Yes. Oh, these horrid, wretched parents. We cannot hold these people responsible. Really?
No.
Really?
No.
Not. They got nothing to do with them.
How dare you? That's reproductive rights. How dare you, Mr. Carolla?
I'm going to pop some pills and sexually abuse my kid, but then when the kid goes south at age 14 and sticks a number 2 pencil in the lung of some classmate,
then it's our problem.
You got nothing to do with it?
Then it's our problem. No, that's society's problem. Society's problem at that point. By the way, I was disappointed not to see your face
on
the cover of the Los Angeles Times this morning with the 180 other governor applicants.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm sorry you weren't there.
Oh, yeah.
Gallagher was on there, though.
He's a funny man.
He's
going to get it all.
His face was there.
He'll get the country straightened out.
Some watermelons were part of his 65 signatures, I think.
Oh, God damn. This is a disaster. We got to move somewhere. We got to do
Nevada.
Something.
Nevada.
No. We're going to move to that country that I'm going to put. City.
Yes,
city.
But the buffer state.
State. The buffer state.
The buffer state.
We're going to move into the buffer state between Nevada and California. It'll all be there. And if we need, stay with the Mexico side. We'll go toward Nevada.
Okay.
That's where we're going to move. I'm going to colonize someplace. What do you say?
Yeah.
You guys with us?
I'm up for it. I'm up for it.
Disaster. Jessica?
Fredonia.
Hi, Adam.
I was thinking more Annenberg, but I mean, we can work on it. Jessica?
Hi, Adam.
Yeah, you're 18. What's up?
My boyfriend, he's 17, and I've been dating him for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. When he was a baby, he had cancer, and they gave him chemotherapy, and that like really stunted his growth.
Did he have leukemia?
No. Not that I know of.
What else? What other what kind of cancer can you get when you're a baby? That you survive. Well, any kids ever born with cancer?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Cancers,
oh, great.
That's fine. Nice.
We'll look forward to that.
But, yeah,
well,
he's
then,
like,
anyways, the
there is a God.
Cancers and
out.
Radiation cancer do definitely stunt growth. That the real common thing, for instance, for leukemia survivors to be of short stature. And there really isn't anything can be done about that, or they would have already done it. At least I'm not aware of any research ongoing to correct that.
How short is he? How small is he?
He's like 5 foot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and his area is small, too.
Ooh.
Oh, see, that's...
Is
that's
he maturing normally? He's got normal hair.
And
is he maturing normally? Is it normal hair and that kind of thing?
Yeah. He's very mature and physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, is he developing normally? In other words...
He's got like little hairs on his nipples and his balls drop and stuff like
that.
I mean, he could be testosterone deficient too, is what I'm saying. And that there would be evidence for that, although some of that is from the adrenal hormones. One of the things that he might want to do is just see an endocrinologist and see if there's something more that can be done. Because they do sometimes get deficiencies of pituitary function, so if he had whole brain radiation or something like that.
No. What kind of cancer did he have?
She doesn't know.
I have no idea, but he also had a tumor. Now he's like at high risk for other stuff too.
Well, tumor and cancer are the same word.
Do you know where the tumor was?
It was on his bladder, I think, and now every time he pees, it kind of hurts a little.
That's interesting. They probably had to surgically do something, too. But Yes, having had chemo puts you at risk for other future tumors. That's right.
It does?
Yeah.
You mean when? As a younger person or in general?
Particularly as a younger person.
Why?
Because it's poison. It's screwed
up. It's poison.
DNA.
Well, it's shouldn't it just kill everything?
Yeah, but it also screws with the DNA of normal cells and maybe increases the probability of turning cancerous. Or there's different theories about this. Some people believe that, you know, once you've had one, maybe your immune system to track this stuff down isn't as good, and maybe you're at higher risk for another.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you've had one means you potentially could have another. You see what I'm saying?
So it doesn't stimulate antibodies at all, then?
Chemo?
Yeah.
Chemo is just poison. They're immune modulatory treatments now. That's sort of the future, which is trying to use your body's immune mechanisms and accelerate them. Mm-hmm. And that's what they hope. That's what the hope of the future is. But in the past, I mean, he had chemo some time ago. He's a grown man, you know, young adult now.
We've got another horror movie where you just bore everyone to death.
We're living that one right now.
You get a bunch of teenagers up to a camp.
Give them chemo.
And they run screaming out of the
No, here's how it goes. I play like the crotchety old camp counselor who's... I'm the caretaker, you know, and I'm like... Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. Bad,
the lantern.
Bad news, kids.
The bib overalls, yeah.
The cable is out. It's like... Close up. But it's okay. Dr. Drew is going to tell you about the effects of chemo. Yeah, that's amusing. You come in, you're wearing a blazer with patches on the sleeve.
Kids start screaming.
Kids start screaming, and we're out of beer. And everyone sits down. It'll be, we'll make like Ovaltine for everybody or hot
first,
cocoa.
We're going to separate you girls and you boys.
Yeah.
First thing.
First show of hands. Who wants Ovaltine and who wants Postum?
No!
You come in and just explain to them about how glands work and disease.
Show pictures.
With charts, yeah. Really
yeah.
Graphic charts.
Yeah.
Adam loves that. He hates the idea that female is a human. It troubles him greatly.
Don't.
His full NASA charts.
Human.
No, I have. Let me show you guys.
No,
I have anatomy charts.
I cannot see it.
Look here.
Yes, no. the visible woman.
Adam turns to a pillar of salt if he sees this.
Please. It's got to do with masturbation. Liz?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay, I've been in a relationship for about 2 years with this guy. He's 30. And I basically, my question is, how do you know when someone's an alcoholic?
If it has consequences, if his use is affecting relationships, work or school, health, legal, or financial.
Okay.
And obviously, if you are calling, it's affecting relationships.
Yes.
So the next question you ask is, well, is there a family history?
Yes.
Dad, grandpa. Yeah, well, that's it, period. You've got the disease then.
And
what you can predict is it's going to get worse with time.
To me, they think those Sandler movies are funny, like the last few. That's one of the precursors for alcoholism. That's how I know someone's hitting the bottle really hard. Like,
see, but the thing with him.
Slappy Maxwell or whatever crap he's turned
Sandler's
out.
Sandler's alcoholism.
Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
Oh. Polly Shore's drug abuse.
Oh.
Or Carrot Top.
Carrot Top's starting to look like Phyllis Diller, by the way. I saw Carrot Top on one of those.
He was doing the Bob Hope eulogy.
One of those collect commercials. Like he's wearing eyeliner, his hair's all teased out. It used to just be curly red. Now it's all teased out. It's like, remember what Phyllis Diller used to look like in the 70s?
When Phyllis Diller started to look like a caricature of herself.
Yeah. Yes, Carrot Top is the new Phyllis Diller.
She's going to be wearing a muumuu next. You know?
Yes, it's crazy looking. Yeah. Yeah, watch those commercials. Just watch him coming undone. His sexuality's like spinning off in some weird direction. I mean, watch the first Carrot Top 1-800-COLLECT commercial, and then watch the latest one.
It's a Michael Jackson progression.
I swear to Christ, there's eyeliner and plastic surgery and
cheekbones. Yeah.
I was yelling about this to someone in the office, and they were like, you're just jealous because he replaced you. And I was like, huh? Oh, yeah, I used to do those commercials. That's right. I forgot I did those. All right, Liz.
So anyway,
what? Carrot
Liz,
Top?
Liz, there's only one thing you can do. Well, there's two things. You can
Mr. Deeds. That's the
You can put him on notice that his drinking is affecting the relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can leave him, which may...
I've tried. That's a question I have, too.
Well, listen, hold on.
Well, wait a minute. Why can't you leave him?
See, the thing is that every time I try, it's like... He abuses me, like, emotionally sometimes. When he's on alcohol, he's very, like...
When you try to leave, he abuses you?
No. When he does this to me, I try to walk away and be like, no. But then for some reason, I keep taking the abuse.
Well, because your dad was an alcoholic.
No. That's the thing.
And somebody in your family was.
Where's your dad? Your dad's a saint.
My dad has always been home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that's ever happened in my family.
Right?
Huh?
Your dad's home drinking, right?
No. No. Right. My dad's a very religious man.
Right.
The only thing that happened with him once was that he cheated on my mom a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's like the biggest drama we've ever had in our family. But I've never been surrounded by alcohol.
Even your mom never drank?
No.
No.
I've had alcoholics in my family.
Who
was
that?
But this is one of my uncles, two of my uncles.
Did you live around them?
No. And we've been isolated from everybody.
Whose brothers were they?
My dad's.
And your dad does not drink at all? Never drank?
He probably had one beer, two beers when I was very young. But it was never a problem.
He never had a problem with it in the past.
Never. All right.
Well, wait a minute. Right. Hold on a second, Drew. I know we grill everybody on this, but it does so happen every once in a while when a girl... Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to try to be tactful about the whole thing. But all that's standing between you and sort of life taking advantage of you is your IQ. Speaking as someone who scored a 91 when I took one online about 3 months ago. But sometimes people that don't have a ton of horsepower up in the brains department can get hooked up with people, and the guys can weave their spell and manipulate, and they don't have to. I know,
you're right, usually,
but sometimes.
Yes, you're absolutely, of course you're right. And there's never absolute, but the going back to it over and over again smacks somebody who's a severe codependent, which means that there's usually some caretaking function she served in the family, usually to an alcoholic.
But, Liz?
Go ahead. You want to talk?
You there?
Yes, I'm here.
You should thank me for, I played the retard card with Drew and defended you.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. So Liz, you have two choices. You can leave, and that might get his attention, that might get him motivated to do something about his disease, unlikely. Or, if you decide to stick this relationship out, you can go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor, and begin working the steps yourself with your sponsor. If you do that, that actually has the highest probability of getting him into treatment, if there's any possibility.
I've told him to get treatment. He doesn't want to.
No. Did you hear what I said?
For me to go.
And do what? Go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor, work the steps.
Okay.
You will change in that sufficiently that you will no longer put up with his crap.
You can also break up with him, too,
and
if you feel like it.
I've done it, and it hurts.
Oh, baby doll. It's all right. That's how you grow. Little pain. All right?
Okay.
How was it in Sylmar today? Beautiful, I'll bet.
Very beautiful, yes.
Yeah.
Very hot, 117
degrees.
Yeah.
I got all those auto dismantling places and landfills. Got a nice gravel pit over there.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. San Fernando Road. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful country. Yeah, we used to, when I used to play Pop Warner football, we would practice at Poly High out in Sylmar. Yeah, nothing like that landfill and the 5 freeway going through there and just a burnt asphalt, dogs looking for a place to die.
I've hunted for many transmission parts out there.
Have you?
Mind yourself.
Yeah, going there to
successfully.
I'll tell you, there's nothing better than going to one of those pick apart car places and the guys who squat the shacks at the end. Oh, it's like, guys, first you wonder, like, how fat could a guy get eating Top Ramen? Like, only Top Ramen.
The Top Ramen sandwich. No,
how do you become morbidly obese eating nothing but Top Ramen and drinking generic beer?
Because the Dobermans at the gate are taking it away from me.
They have all these dogs. There's always a big fat guy, and there's a trailer. It's not even it's not a house. It's not a shack. It's a trailer, and that's where they keep the high dollar items like the speedometers and tachometers and radios and CBs. And there's always some scanner going in the background with some guy going, "Yeah, I got a 62. I got a flare. Who's got a bumper for a? I got a Fiero.
Where are those 260 Z hubcaps?
G hubcaps. I got a bumper for Fiero. And it's always the guys. Whatever it is you want from the place, it's good luck. The guy's like, whatever part you decide is screwed up on your car, it's universally screwed up.
And the size of Rhode Island. You know, you rock out into these aisles and never to be found again.
True. You never
take water.
And the ground is great because the ground is, it's not dirt and it's not concrete or asphalt. It's dirt that has been saturated with tranny fluid and oil. And it's oil dirt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like dirty dirt. Like, just dirt would be a huge step up. Like, one day we'll vacation in a place that has just dirt. This is like this is toxic landfill dirt.
Toxic dirt.
And it's 110 degrees. You just walk around looking for a car that was like yours. And then
and
you look at
those caverns. I mean, there's like canyons of them.
And everyone died. Like, you look at cars, you're like, wow, the entire driver's side door's been driven through the side and out the passenger side. And you're like, yeah, a couple people died in that car. All this is death. Like, everyone was in these cars died, but it's all right, because I'm getting a rear view.
I'm getting
at
a bucket
price.
Seat. I don't care if there's blood on it. I need that bucket
then,
seat.
Then you got to pilfer a little bit. Like, I guess I could unscrew one of those lock pull knobs things, or maybe take the crank for the window. Like, there's little stuff you could take, too, while you're in there. You got to keister it, but you can get it out there.
Oh, my God.
Keister one of those antennas.
All right.
All right. True. I'll tell you all about the other side of life. Ugh. All right, Freddie versus Jason, everybody. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Robert Englund is here tonight. He is Freddie. Ken Kurtzinger's here tonight. He is Jason, and Freddie and Jason are going at it. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah.
Duking it out. Throwing down.
Not that way.
Drew doesn't like scary movies. He never saw The Shining, everybody.
I did. I finally saw it.
Yeah, I made you see it.
Red Room.
I made you see The Shining. Yeah, it was too slow for Drew. It got too built up for him. Here's the thing, too. You can't... Yeah. You if a movie's going to be 2.5 hours, 2:45, you got to see it when all the other movies are that long. If you're used to an hour and a half now, it's kind of tough. We don't have the attention span that we used to.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
You can't make it through Dr. Zhivago anymore.
No.
It doesn't work.
No.
It's a different time. Barry Lyndon, no.
To break it up.
I couldn't make it through Barry Lyndon
anymore. Like 30 movies. Yeah. I saw that crap when I was 10, by the way.
Barry Lyndon?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was like 3 hours and 50 minutes or something. All right, where the hell... all right, movie's coming out on the 15th. That is this Friday, by the way. We'll talk to Mercedes, who's 14. Mercedes?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
We were calling to talk, or me and my friend are calling to talk to, I don't know, what do we call them? Freddie and Jason, or what?
Yes. Sure, then we know you mean, yeah.
It's Mr. Krueger to you.
Right. Mr. Krueger?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to switch back and forth between us.
No, hold on a second.
We can't.
Are you high?
No.
Okay. Then don't
I don't do drugs.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, my friend Darcy, I'll let you talk to her. Hello.
Didn't we establish we weren't going to do that?
All right, Darcy, what's up?
All right, Darcy.
Okay. I have to tell Jason, I guess, something. Okay. When I was like 6 or 7, they used to play marathons of Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th. Uh-huh. And I never really watched them, and my parents went out one night, so I was home with my brother and one of his friends.
How old were you at the time?
Like 6, somewhere around there. And they tied me to a chair and made me watch the whole marathon. And I'm so scared.
They pry your eyes open?
Yeah.
Just having a couple older boys tie you to a chair, regardless what they made you do, would be traumatizing enough.
Yeah.
She's disagreeing. Hey, Darcy.
She's better for it.
any Freddy? You ever get tied to a chair and forced to watch Chef Freddy?
No. But
is that what happened to Lauren? Is that why she's so freaked out?
Yes. Yeah. All right.
Lauren, is this you?
Junior producer. I was tied to a chair and forced to watch the Lucy marathon.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. That's horrible.
I was trying to get my hands free so I could kill myself. all right, girls. Good times.
Yeah.
Let's not call the show anymore, though. All right. Spread the word. Remember my earlier plan from this evening?
Yeah.
Should I get everyone not to call?
Yeah.
We're home free. Cruising.
It's making sense to me now.
It is. You weren't on board, were you, Robert? But now
you are. Tomorrow you're going to have the servers calling, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Now, I think, I was talking about this story. I saw that. Now, what was that horror movie that came out like a year ago? The Circle?
Was it The Circle? The Ring.
The Ring. I keep screwing that up. But you get the orb sort of thing going, man. Yeah. I'm punching the mic tonight, like Drew, by the way. I saw The Ring, and The Ring... in the ring, the TV comes on, and when the TV comes on, you die. And I swear to God, that night after watching the ring, I was in bed. It was about 4 a.m. And this is when we're having all these power outages. Yeah. And it was about 4:30 in the morning. I go to bed about 2, so I was down pretty good about 4:30. I mean, I'm pretty drunk usually when I go down because I gotta kill the pain. Yeah. Dealing with all these teenagers, you know. And it's 4:30 in the morning, and I hear loudly coming from my living room this this masculine voice just, rise, hi, hi. And my wife's like, somebody's in the house. I'm listening to it, and it sounds like it's kind of coming through a speaker, but it's a big male booming voice. Rise, hi, hi. And it's loud. And I'll tell you what ends up happening. Now, the reason it's loud is it's coming through a TV. And it's coming through a TV that's mounted on top of this wall in the living room that I only watch when I'm skipping rope. And when you skip rope, it makes a lot of noise and you can't hear the TV. So I turn it all the way up and then I turn it off. But when the power kicked, the TV came back on. And all I'm doing, and I got half a boner and I'm half asleep and I'm heading down the stairs into the living room. And it's illuminated by this big flat screen TV that's turned all the way up, and it's the middle of the night, and it's a big sort of high ceiling, cavernous, wood floored living room. And it's a preacher. It's like, and he's on there, and he's like, he's full of fire and brimstone, you know, and he's like, and God came upon the earth, and they felt his wrath. And I'm heading down the stairs, and the TV's on the wall of the opening, so I can't see it yet, and I don't know where the voice is coming from or what's going on, and I just walk in front of it, and I'm just standing there at this guy in his 50s who's pointing and yelling, and it's 4:30 in the morning, and I'm thinking, that now I die.
Now I die.
But not a bad thing, really, because
you got the word.
Yep. And someone designed this goddamn TV so that when the power goes and comes back on, it kicks on. So no other TV but this one. Pow! Right on. And the following night, same thing.
Oh wow!
Except for now it's 5 a.m. Remember that? Remember, Drew, I gave you a big earful of that crap?
I remember you talking
crap?
About the one night. Yeah, I didn't realize that one 2 nights in
yeah.
a row.
Yeah, all right. It's good times.
Yeah, nice.
But it always, when you watch a horror movie, the horror movie is good, you're left vulnerable. Mm. That's when you've done your work. You go home, you're thinking about stuff, you're worried about stuff, and something seems to happen.
Well, it's the last place we have left, I think, in the culture where we really address death. You know, sitting there together in the dark at the movies. You know, there used to be a lot more going on with religion, organized religion and stuff, where we had this sort of collective catharsis. And the horror movies nobody talks about death anymore in this society. Except on this show. No. Except when you're in the dark, except in a horror movie. I mean, that's where you're really identifying and dealing with that, you know.
It's an attraction that's interesting. And I don't know if anyone's ever really studied it, but the fact that things you absolutely do not want to happen in your own life, you will then pay money and drive across town and sit there and watch it potentially happen to other people or whatever it is. Why is that so attractive and universally attractive? It's not some little cult group that went out and saw The Exorcist. I mean, it's the entire country. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
All right, Drew. We need answers to those questions, by the way. Yeah.
I'll go on the web and get them.
All right. After this. Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Dr. Drew.
Woo.
Robert England is here tonight, along with Ken Kurtzinger, both from Freddy vs. Jason, which is coming to theaters this Friday, the 15th. And Drew saw Freaky Friday.
That's about as close to a horror film as I get.
Did your daughter drag you to that?
Yeah.
Well, Jamie Lee Curtis is a screen queen. That's right. You know, yeah.
The boy saw it too. I
heard it was good. Very good. I heard it was well done.
Well done.
Yeah.
Charming. Switched.
Yeah. She was in the first Halloween, right?
First couple, I think.
First couple. It was well written, completely believable, except for the part with the changing bodies.
The first Halloween, very scary, by the way. That movie scared the crap out of me.
Really?
It made this chick I was sitting next to, Phyllis Tyler, fart. I remember that. It was the part where...
Phyllis is on the phone.
She was... What's Jamie Lee Curtis thought? What's his name was done? What the hell?
Michael Myers.
Michael. Yeah, yeah, thought Michael was dead, and then all of a sudden he popped up behind the sofa, and Phil's like, the sofa, no one heard, but I was laughing.
F rating for farting.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
blame it on the dog.
A great date,
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't a real date. I just dug her, and she was, like, sitting next to me. But
that's a great way to impress her, though, to make, point it out and laugh hysterically like a hyena.
Mock her.
That's good, Adam.
What's up there, Elizabeth?
By the way, you're going to 24.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Horribly. That's so horrible. I had a total crush on her, and her brother was... brother was just one of these troublemakers, and I was hanging out at their house. She was like older than me. She had no interest in me, but I was sitting, I don't know what the hell happened, but I was like sitting on a rocking chair in her like a living room, and she came down, she sat on my lap. She was just teasing me, and we were like rocking back and forth for a while. I was like 16, and hormones going nuts. Her brother John was like 18, and she was like 17. Her brother John was in the next room, like in the den. So I was like, "Oh man!" And she got up, answered the phone or something. And I like stood up and like adjusted myself. I was getting all boner and stuff. And then I started to walk away, and I heard her coming back, and I like ran and jumped back in the seat, like I didn't move because I wanted to get her back on my lap. She walked in, it's like, "Oh, you're still there." She sat back down on my lap. Her brother had been watching this the whole time and saw me run and dive back in the seat and came out and said, "You should have seen what he did when he heard you coming. He dove back into the seat." And I was, oh, it was so humiliating.
It was your payback for the fart mock.
That followed.
Oh, dove back. Oh, it was so humiliating. Elizabeth?
Yes?
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, my boyfriend and I went to a party the other night, and I wasn't drinking, so he spent the evening with the night with me. We started talking about ex-girlfriends and how he had brought one over to a party and how she got drunk. And
we're already not following you.
You weren't drinking, so he spent the night with you?
No, so he spent the evening with me instead of partying. And
Whoa. This is your boyfriend?
Well, my ex-boyfriend now.
This was your boyfriend at the time?
Yeah.
How long had you been dating?
7 months.
And instead of partying, he spent the evening with you? Is that what you said?
He went to a party, but she wasn't drinking, so he spent the night with her.
Yeah.
Understand how that makes no sense to us at all. We don't understand the meaning.
Like, instead of, like, socializing and drinking with his buddies, he just, like, sat in the living room and just talked to me
And that would be an unusual behavior for him.
No, it was fine, except that we started talking about ex-girlfriends. And
Go ahead.
Keep going. Ex-girlfriends,
And so I asked him if he had sex with his ex-girlfriend, and he said yes once. And then he went into detail about telling me the story of how it happened. And he said, "I shouldn't tell you this, but
Wait 1 second. Had sex with his ex-girlfriend
once in his only once the whole time they were dating.
Yeah.
Okay, and how did that happen? He was going to tell you.
And he started telling me into detail how it happened, and then he told me that he probably shouldn't tell me, but that after the first time they had sex, he really wanted to have sex with her again really badly. And that really, like, pissed me off, and I got really mad and asked him to take me home. And
wait a minute. Still, they're... I would never want to get directions from Elizabeth. She's like, "You go to the stop sign, turn right, and then go down. Tunnel through the Earth's core." Really? Down? Yes, tunnel.
No, she wouldn't tell you tunnel. Just go down.
Just go down. I don't understand something. Your boyfriend is how old?
He's 19 and I'm 21.
He's 19 and you're 21, so he's younger. He had a girlfriend before you.
Mm-hmm.
He had sex with this girlfriend.
And wanted to have sex again.
He enjoyed it and wanted to have sex again with her.
Yeah, and she treated him like a total bitch.
While they were boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yeah, they were off and on. But
okay,
I mean,
Elizabeth, wouldn't that be a natural reaction to
a couple.
Yeah, but then it's like, why is he telling me that if he's with me? And
probably because you were going, tell him, come on, come on, come on, tell me.
Actually, I only asked him once, and he answered it, and he went into great detail about it. And so I broke up with him.
Yeah, all right, but you wanted to break up with him.
No, I really didn't, because I miss him a lot right now.
All right, well, you missed the chaos is what you miss.
So is it just bad that I broke up with him for that reason?
What reason? You created the reason. This guy had a boy. This guy had a girlfriend who he had sex with.
Surprise! That's every most of the people you date going forward.
Yeah,
will have,
but she treated him so badly, and he did so much to try and get her back. Why can't he?
Hold on a second, and it's just here's one of the cornerstones of stupid. You never quite know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
it's like talking to a kid. And they go, and then Johnny said, and you don't know who Johnny is. You're not exactly sure, but they're kids, so you just kind of pretend like you're listening and nod your head and keep making your sandwich while they're yapping away. At least that's what I'm going to do. But I can't figure out with Elizabeth, is a guy talking about his ex-girlfriend who he was with at the time, and what's the big deal about wanting to have sex with someone you're currently with? I mean, I don't understand that whole part, Elizabeth. Elizabeth?
Yeah?
I don't understand why you were offended that he wanted to have sex with his girlfriend when it was his girlfriend.
No, it's not the fact that he wanted to have sex. It's the fact that he told me that he wanted it so badly a second time, and he went on telling me about everything. Everything he did to try and get it a second time, and it's like...
Well, what do you mean a second time? They're going together. Don't you get it a second time?
No, but I mean, like, he did so many things for her that he won't even bother doing for me when we were going out together.
Have you had sex with him a second time, or just give him the one time?
No, many times.
Many times. Oh, shocking. You had sex with him a second time? I can't believe that. All right. Let's just break up. You already broke up? Fine.
Yeah.
Look, you're chaotic. Is your family chaotic?
No.
Do you know what chaotic means?
Yes, of course. They're
Your parents together? They didn't get in big fights or anything?
They're together. Yeah, they did fight a lot when they were...
All right. Yeah, it's just chaos in your background. And when you're with a guy, the only way you know how to relate to being with him is stirring it up.
Yeah.
You just have to stir it up.
Too much drama.
Yeah,
right.
Too much drama.
You sit around, you start asking these questions. Was your ex-girlfriend thinner? Were boobs bigger? Did she get better oral?
This is the
Did
same
you
thing.
Enjoy
this,
it?
This
you
is start... somebody. This is the threesome thing impulse,
yeah.
too. We'll have a threesome, and then they get in there, and then it's, wow.
Right. You get chaos, you break up, then there's magically no chaos. So you get back together, and then you start asking stupid questions again.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, you've destroyed my life.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Wasted it anyway.
Hi, Drew, where are we?
We're going to break.
No, I got to cleanse my palate of
we're going
that crappy
break.
Call.
That's it.
No longer
talk to the guys.
Somebody.
Talk to the guys.
Sarah?
Cleanse your palate.
You're 21.
Yeah.
You're my Sherbert. Let's go. No longer attracted to boyfriend of 2.5 years.
Well, it's not that. It's just like I'm going through this period of time where I'm not as physically attracted to him as I used to be.
Good.
Maybe
and I'm wondering if that's normal.
You've been together
normal,
since you're 18. Break it off.
It's your body's telling you something.
I'm 21.
You're 19. All right. Your body's telling you something. Maybe time to wrap this one up.
2.5 years could have been 18.
Yeah.
All right. So you're 19 when you got together?
Yeah, we were 19. I was 19.
All right. Break up. It's done. It's all done. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Your pal feel better?
See
what you did?
That was like a piece of parsley. It wasn't quite sherbet.
No. Well, yeah.
I'm going to shoot for sherbet after this. Everybody, well, that's the show, everybody. Shark Week tonight. We're just talking about Shark Week. Kelly Slater's going to be in here. I'm going to have to ask him about...
Did he have shark bite?
Kelly's got to have shark stories.
They always do a thing, though. It's like, after being attacked by an 18-foot great white, right back in the water the next day.
Save the boards.
You have to get back in the water. It's like falling off a horse.
They always do that, too. They interview the guy. I don't blame the shark. Yeah, that's good. You don't have to blame the piano that lands on you either.
He thought I was a seal.
Whatever it is, you're getting eaten. Great. You don't hold a grudge. You 7 million stitches in your side.
You know the guys all get hit here. here, they all get hit up by Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
That's like the feeding area for the great whites. Yeah, all these poor surfers in Carmel. You know?
Going to Pebble Beach
this weekend,
by the way.
Have a drink at Clint Eastwood's and wham!
Yep. Yeah. All right, that's the show, everybody. Freddy versus Jason. Go out and see that this Friday. And until next time, I'm Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.